Today's Tanya for the 14th of Tammuz is in the Geres HaTshuva in Perek Dalid. It's on page 186. The number at the bottom of the page is 356. The Alter Rebbe just finished asking the question that the punishment of Kodesh and Misa B'dei Shamayim used to be that it meant physical and literal death prematurely, either before 50 or before 60 years old. And yet we see today, and in the past generations, that people who have committed those sins for which the punishment is either kodesh or misa b'dei shamayim, and yet they live their life out in peace. So at the bottom now of page 186, the answer to this question. Four lines from the bottom. Achalinyin hum Yuvon alpi mashakosuv ki chelek Hashem ami. We'll understand this based on what is written, that the people, the Jewish people, are a chelek of Hashem, which means chelek mishem havaye baruch, that the Jews are a portion of the name Hashem. As he will say later, angels come from Elohim, from the name Elohim, and are sometimes referred to as Elohim, whereas the neshama of the Jew comes from Shem Hashem, Havaya, and therefore is called Chelek Hashem, that the Jew is a part of the name Hashem. Kedachsiv, as it says, Vayipach bi'apav nishmas chayim, man denofach metechei nofach, that the neshama was breathed into man, blown into man, and blowing means exhaling an internal breath. V'af she'en le'dmus haguf chas v'sholem. How do we describe God as exhaling when he doesn't have a physical form? Ach dibra teira kaloshim b'nei adam. But the Torah speaks in the language of men. By way of analogy, ki kamei sheyesh hefresh vehevdul gadol ba'adam atachten al derech moshel. Just as there is a great difference in the human being, for an example, what is the difference bein ahevel sheyetzim mipil b'diburei, between the breath that is exhaled when one speaks, lehevel hayetzal yedei neficha, compared to the breath that is exhaled when one blows. What is the difference? Shebeyetze b'diburei melubish bekeyach v'chayiz ma'at mezeir. Because the breath that is exhaled in speech, in speaking, contains, that breath contains a very little bit of life. V'hu b'chinas chetzeini yizme nefesh achayish abikirbet. And that is because that breath comes from the external part of the nefesh, and therefore it contains a very minimal amount of life. Aval b'yetze b'keyach ha-nefeyach, but that which comes, the breath which is exhaled when one exhales forcefully, blows out forcefully, that is mitechei nofach, that comes from an inner part, melubish b'keyach v'chayis pnimi, it contains an inner life, a portion of the inner life, mebichinas hanefesh achaya, in the inner life of the nefesh, not from the external part of the nefesh, but from the internal. So just as it is with man, that there is an external breath and an internal breath. The external breath contains little life. The internal breath contains significant life. The same is true also above, that in communicating and revealing himself, God reveals himself either as an external revelation or an internal revelation. So although we can't attribute to God any physical attributes or any physical form or shape, but we're using the idea of exhaling to show that there is a distinction between external and internal expression. And the same is true with God, although his expression is infinitely different from ours, but in his expression also there are these two kinds, the external and the internal. Koch ha-mamash al derech moshul, the same is true also by way of analogy. Above, even though ha-mavdul havdol is lein ketz, even though we're talking about two very different things, but the concept applies to both. Because above also, yesh hefesh otzum me'ilu ma'ilo, there is a great distinction above, bein kol tzivo ha-shamayim, between the hosts of heaven, in other words, the higher creation, even the higher creations, Vafilu hamalochim shenivru ma'ayin liyesh, and even the angels, which were created out of nothing. Chayim v'kayomim v'chinas chitzeinis achayus v'hashefa, and they exist and live off the external energy. Shemashpia insev baruch hu, which God gives l'hachayis ha'ilameis, to give life to the worlds. U'bechinazu nikras b'shem ruach piv al derech moshul, and this external giving of life, or the giving of an external aspect of life, of godliness, this is referred to as the breath of his mouth. Kameshekosov, as we find written, over ruach piv kol tzivom, with the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. So we see that the hosts of heaven, including also the angels, are created by the breath of his mouth, which means the external part. The external breath is the one that is expressed in speech. And above, with God, it is the life that God gives that is expressed in the 10 utterances through which the world is created. The letters of the utterances are the vessels and the channels through which this external life flows to the world. So there's a great distinction between that level of creation, ubein nishmas ha'odom, and compared to the soul of man. In other words, the Jewish neshama. Shenim shechot chilo mebechinas pnimis hachayis v'hashefa, because the neshama comes originally not from the external, but from the internal life that God gives of himself. Shemashpia insev baruchu kameshakosu vayipach, etc. Here, when it comes to the neshama, it doesn't say the breath of his mouth, which is expressed in speech, but rather the breathing, vayipach, he blew into him a neshama. Because that's what comes from the internal life. Ach hakach yordo, and afterwards, after the initial expression of the neshama, the neshama then comes down, b'seisir hamadrega, gam kein, alidei b'chinas ha'esiye, shebemaymer, nasa adam. Then the neshama undergoes the descent, also through the letters of speech, and in this case, the utterance of let us make man. So originally, the neshama comes from an internal part of God, but in its process, in the process of its descent, it too travels through the level of external energy, of external life, which is the words with which the neshama is brought down to this world. And that is the statement, let us make man. And this is kedei lehislabish begufei lam hazatach, in order that the neshama, which is a part of God originally, should be able to be clothed in a body in this physical world. The neshama has to go through that external part of God, which brings it down to the level where it can be in the body. And that's why we find in the Torah that angels are referred to by the name Elokim. That God is the God of gods, which means the God of the angels. So we see that angels are called Elokim. It also says, Heidu lelikeho elikim, the God of gods, and again, a reference to angels. Vayaveyu b'neiho elikim lehisyatzev, that the angels came, and they're called again, b'nei elikim. So why should angels be called elikim? Lefi sheyinik as chayusam, hime b'chin as chitzeinuyes, since their energy is derived from the external part of God's life-giving force, which is the life that is contained in the letters alone, merely that and not more than that, v'shem elikim, and therefore the name elikim is appropriate, because hu b'chinas chitzeni is l'gav b'shem avaya baruch, because of the names of God, elikim represents the external, and Hashem represents the internal. Aval nishmas ha'odom, but the neshama, shehim ubechinas pnimis hachayus, which comes from an inner life, from an inner energy of God, he chelek shem havaya baruch hu, it is described as a part of Hashem, because as we said, Hashem represents the internal part of God. Kishem havaya made up nimis hachayu shehila maila maila mebechinas ha'esis. The name Hashem represents that part of God which is an inner aspect of life, and this is much, much higher than the level of letters or of speech. And therefore it is described as being blown into man. In the Hayyem Yom, for the 14th day of Tammuz, the Rebbe writes that the Tzemach Tzedek notes in one of the Maimorim that on Tuesday of Parshas Bullock, in the year 1802, the Alter Rebbe said to his sons as follows. To understand the problem posed by the astronomers, that since the earth is round, spherical like an apple, why don't those people who live on the side of the globe opposite of ours, down below in America, why don't they fall off? So the answer that the astronomers give is not the true one. The Alter Rebbe then explained that the answer lies in the statement of the Eitz Chaim, the Kabbalah, that the nine spheres, which seemingly is a reference to the planets, the nine spheres derive their existence from a level, from a state called igulim, circles. And in a circle, there is no above or below. And for this reason, those who live opposite us, down below, have their heavens high above them, which arches in one continuous arch with the heavens which are above us, so that the earth there is below relative to the heavens that is over it, so that the people down below couldn't fall down away from the earth, because that would be falling up. Instead, they remain on earth because that is downward to them.